Hey, it's Ahmed here. I know what you're thinking, that we know what is the difference between HTTP and HTTPS, and you are not bringing something new to the table, but today I was thinking that I wanted this episode to be a reminder of why we moved from HTTP to HTTPS, and then what happened later, where attackers and researchers found several weaknesses in TLS, and we should not ignore the implementational part of the protocol. I hope you find it interesting. You're listening to The Cyber Riddler, where we decipher the offensive and defensive side of the cyber world. I'm Ahmed Mraba. Okay, so let's start with the basics. HTTP, or Hyper Transfer Protocol, is the foundation of data communication on the World Wide Web. But the internet evolved. The need for secure communication became crucial, leading to the birth of HTTPS, or HTTP Secure. The S here is what makes all the difference. Turning standard and secure communication into a secure channel, but how? That's what we are unpacking today. The heart of HTTPS lies in encryption. Encryption is like a secret code that only the intended recipient can understand. In HTTPS, we use two types, symmetric and asymmetric. Symmetric encryption uses the same key to encrypt and decrypt data, akin to a shared secret. Asymmetric encryption, on the other hand, uses two keys, a public key for encryption and private key for decryption. Here I'm talking in a generic way, and I don't want to go in details of the encryption and protocols itself, because I don't want you to be bored. But if you want, I can make an episode, and maybe we talk about it in the future. Now, HTTPS doesn't just use any encryption. It uses TLS, Transport Layer Security. This protocol ensures that the data you send and receive is encrypted and secure. The TLS handshake, process you don't see, but happens every time you visit an HTTPS website, establishes a secure connection using these encryption methods. An integral part of HTTPS is the TLS certificates. These certificates are issued by certificate authorities and serve as a digital passport for websites, proving their authenticity. There are different levels of validation for these certificates, from domain validated one, which is the most basic, to extended validation, which is the most rigorous. This process ensures you are talking to the actual website you think you are talking to, not an imposter. Apart from encryption, HTTPS also ensures data integrity. This means the data sent and received remains unaltered during transit. Techniques like hashing and message authentication codes, aka MACs, play a vital role here, acting as digital seals that alert if data has been tampered with. Additional security features of HTTPS. So, HTTPS also include features like HSTS, which forces browsers to use secure connections, and perfect forward secrecy. I want to talk more about perfect forward secrecy, because I think it's an integral part in nowadays communication, but maybe in a future episode. So in short, perfect forward secrecy will just ensure that even if one set of keys is compromised, past sessions remain secure. Another feature is OCSP stabling, a way to effectively validate certificates. One of the most widely used tools for implementing HTTPS is OpenSSL. This open source software library provides robust SSL and TLS protocols for secure communication. However, its history hasn't been without hiccups. Let's talk about the Heartbleed bug, a name that sent shockwaves through the internet in 2014. This severe vulnerability in OpenSSL allowed attackers to read the memory of systems protected by affected version of OpenSSL software library. This breach exposed the crucial fact that no system is secure, and continuous vigilance is key in cybersecurity. Let's look at some real-world examples. One notable case was the DigiNotar breach in 2011. DigiNotar, a Dutch certificate authority, was compromised, leading to the issuance of fraudulent certificates. This breach allowed attackers to impersonate legitimate websites, demonstrating the catastrophic consequences of compromising CA, or certificate authority. These examples highlight importance of proper HTTPS implementation. It's not just about using the protocol itself. It's about configuring it correctly, staying updated with the latest security patches, and continuously monitoring for the vulnerabilities. The evolution of cyber threats means that what's secure today may not be secure tomorrow. Regular audits, understanding the latest in cybersecurity, and being proactive about security measures are crucial for any organization. While we've discussed about some general vulnerabilities in HTTPS and its component, let's focus now on specific attacks targeting TLS, version 1.1 and 1.2. These versions of TLS, while more secure than their predecessor, have not been immune to sophisticated cyber attacks. First, let's discuss about BEAST attack, which is BEAST attack, which primarily targeted TLS 1.0, but also had implication of TLS 1.1. BEAST, or browser exploit against SSL and TLS, unveiled in 2011, exploited in a vulnerability in the CBC, or cipher block chaining. It's an encryption mode that TLS uses, and even AES and DES use. It's type of mode, like you have several modes, like you have CBC, you have ECB, and you have a lot of them. You have CTR as well. So the problem was using this method in these TLS versions by using this exploit, attackers could decrypt data exchange between the user's browser and web server, while TLS 1.1 was less susceptible due to its implementation of explicit IV or initialization vector. The attack highlighted the need for consistent vigilance in cryptographic protocols. Next, let's look at the crime and breach attacks. Both of these exploited a vulnerability in the compression mechanism of TLS. Crime, disclosed in 2012, leveraged a compression feature to unveil sensitive information like session cookie. Breach, revealed in 2003, targeted HTTP compression a different layer, but effectively exploited the same vulnerability in TLS 1.1 and 1.2. These attacks showed the even non-cryptographic component in the protocol could introduce significant vulnerabilities. Another significant vulnerabilities came to light with the Poodle, which is P-O-O-D-L-E attack, which, as previously mentioned, primarily targeted SSL 3.0. However, it also affected servers that fall back to SSL 3.0 from TLS 1.0 and above. This emphasized the risks of using outdated protocols and the importance of proper configuration to prevent protocol downgrade attacks. I know that most of these attacks are not valid today, but I want you to know that there are attacks on a protocol that everyone uses every day without they know about. People think that using HTTPS websites is enough, but they don't know about other misconfigurations and problems in the protocol. Think about some providers uses algorithm with low key space. The results will be an encrypted connection or secure tunnel, but the usage of unsecure version or small key size of the algorithm itself could lead to an attacker capture your session and tries to decrypt it offline. I'm not saying that it happens every day, and I'm not saying that there are someone who want to check your connection and just keep backup of it. But implementing this to your service could lead to people trying to find bugs in your product starting from these things, or an entry point, if you may. To wrap up, TLS 1.1 and 1.2, while significant advancement in secure communication, have not been without their challenges as we advance in the cybersecurity world. It's crucial to learn from these vulnerabilities and stay ahead of potential threats, whether you are a web developer or a security professional, or just a concerned internet user. Understanding these issues is key to a safer online experience. Now, we are using TLS 1.3. Most of these attacks will not be valid, but at least knowing about them will give you an idea of what's going on in the cyber world. And don't think that attackers wouldn't stop at TLS 1.3, because wait for it and you will see new attacks in the wild. So, if you reach this point, it means that you are really interested about this topic. And I wanted to say one thing. You know, the Cyber Riddler podcast is now 1 year old. I started the podcast in January 2023, and it was great seeing people reacting to the podcast. Thank you all for supporting the podcast and recommending it for everyone. I couldn't do this without you guys. And I hope this podcast was something new in your life or something that changed your opinion a little about some topics in the cyber world. With that, I want to leave you with one word. Thank you for supporting me and the podcast. See you in the next episode.